Godliness, godlessness in the last days. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, obedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their ways into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, thank you again for these written words of Scripture. May it not just be that we listen to someone speak, but that you would speak to our hearts. Thank you for Liu. Pray for him. And we pray for ourselves that you would draw close to us and may your written word live within us. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Ignore the bad and side with the good. It's a maxim that I believe to be the key message from our reading tonight. It is, without a doubt, an incredibly depressing extract. It's a warning of sorts. Don't be like this. Don't be like that. Don't do this. Don't do that. When I read the Bible, this is my personal preference, but I like to find an underlying message, perhaps a maxim that will help me to learn something. I like to believe that if you dig deep and scrape away at the surface of a passage, however hard it may be, there will always be a treasure waiting underneath, the treasure of guidance that will push us towards being a better Christian. Upon reading this passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, I was deeply frustrated by a lack of this message that I like to understand. It's a long, depressing, distressing, discouraging list of negativity. And it's a warning not to be the ungrateful, the unholy, and the unforgiving people surrounding us, as the passage mentions. I felt as though I was trying to use a shovel on concrete. No matter how hard you dig away at this passage, you simply won't find a message. So let us begin by looking at the passage on a surface level. 2 Timothy, otherwise known as the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, and as the name suggests, it's a letter from Paul to Timothy. The second point of interest, Paul is writing during a time in which he awaits death. As he notes slightly after this passage, the suffering and persecutions he has endured during his life means he now awaits the crown of righteousness. For a man who has had to live a life surrounded by both good and bad, we assume that the passage is full of wisdom, with it being a first-hand description that reflects the life and experiences Paul has had to live. It's a personal reflection. From a literary perspective, the opening phrase is so powerful and potent. But mark this. Paul is telling us, almost forcing us, to write down what he says on a piece of paper. We know that he has a warning for us. And again, he writes, there will be terrible times in these last days. Again, there's an awful sense of foreboding in which he is adumbrating our eventual fate during what will be terrible times. Then, as one can so clearly see, it is followed by a long list of these types of people that we should try and avoid. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, loaded down with sins, and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. The list goes on. And naturally, we mustn't forget the message on the surface level. Verse 5, have nothing to do with such people. These are the types of people that lead us astray. Obstacles on our righteous path. Temptations, bad influences, wrongdoers. They're like magicians who hypnotize us and force us to adhere to their demands. And ironically, I mention magicians, but the story of Jannes and Jambres in verse 8 is of great significance. Although they are never actually mentioned in the Bible, Jewish scripture and long-standing Jewish tradition says that they are both two chief magicians who withstood Moses and Aaron in Exodus. And I quote from Exodus chapter 7. Aaron threw a staff down in front of the Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. The Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same thing by their secret arts. Each one threw down a staff and became a snake. Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Ultimately, righteousness overcomes evil, as Aaron overcame Jannes and Jambres. Perhaps, however, this is not always the case. One of the messages that I can see on the surface level is that we are always surrounded by people like this. Wherever life takes us, we will encounter people like this. We may even be able to attribute some of these characteristics to those closest to us. Ungrateful friends, boastful family members. Maybe they are led astray by people like this. Led astray by lust for money, desires. And again, it's not just people outside of the church that may be like this, but very rarely we may encounter people like this within the church. Finally, we may see ourselves in Paul's description of those who we should avoid. Before we put the blame on others, before you point the finger, look at yourself. There are times when I see myself in some of these characteristics that Paul writes about. Overall, the passage is, therefore, very individualistic. The fact that we should have absolutely nothing to do with these people and distance ourselves from them takes an almost every man for himself styled approach. And again, I mention this idea of the surface level. But on the surface level, Paul is trying to tell us to focus on ourselves. It's as though we're walking down a street crowded with wrongdoers. And all we can do is keep our heads down and ignore and block out the people around us. Before we come to the secondary level, the level with the message, I bring your attention to verse 5. Have a form of godliness, but denying its power. What do we mean by godliness? Perhaps one may define it as the quality of being devoutly religious. For Paul to deny this godliness is wrong. But I challenge this verse by arguing that it excludes those who may be unable to develop a form of godliness, the types of people that have difficulty being devoutly religious due to the significant amount of pain and suffering they themselves have had to endure during their lives. It raises the widely debated argument regarding exclusivity, inclusivity, and plurality. So exclusivity, meaning those outside the Christian faith, cannot achieve salvation. Inclusivity, meaning those outside the Christian faith who behave like Christians have an opportunity to seek salvation. And pluralism, meaning anyone and everyone can achieve salvation. This verse, verse 5, certainly seems to be taking on an exclusive view, denying and excluding those without an understanding of God. Perhaps we may have mistakenly defined what it means to be godly. It may be that godliness isn't about devout religiousness, but about compassion and kindness, acting the same way Jesus did, the Messiah and the hero for the outcasts. Which leads me on to the secondary level, the level by which we can learn and be guided to do good. So instead of ignoring people like this, we should do something about it. Religion is personal, but it's also about helping those in need. For example, verse 2, a lover of money. We always see people like this, and we can help them. Maybe it's by talking to them, offering advice, listening to them, guide them back onto the path of righteousness. Instead of distancing ourselves, we should in fact show them our compassion. For example, recently I read about defendants with mental health issues being neglected by the criminal justice system. With about a quarter of the population being diagnosed with mental health illness, and a greater population of them being caught up in the criminal justice system. The study proves that such people need to be more clearly identified and supported rather than ignored. We saw it with the recent school shooting in Florida, with the suspect having obvious signs of being emotionally handicapped, yet nothing was done to help him. This is also evident with the great reoffending rates in the UK. Sending people to prison will help maintain our short-term safety or long-term. More often than not, there's a great chance of them reoffending once released as a result of not offering the help they so truly need. The purpose of life is not to you yourself be living a life content, it's to live in a world where everyone is content and jovial. Who do we look for when it comes to guidance? For most of us, this would be our parents, friends, and I think most definitely those in our church and the wider Christian community. For others, we are the source of guidance. Ask yourself, do we set an example to those who look up to us for help? Are we providing guidance? The Bible is full of examples regarding this matter. Let me take you back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. We also mustn't forget about Paul, who is writing this letter. Obviously once known as Saul, the aggressive persecutor of Christians, jailing those who followed the teachings of Jesus. And we all know about the story of the road to Damascus. A bright light knocked him down. The voice of Jesus, Saul's blindness and immediate response to the calling of Christ. In the manner of the first apostles who, when beckoned by Christ, gave up their lifestyles to follow him, Saul too didn't hesitate. He says yes. Blinded from his encounter with Jesus, he allowed himself to be led into Damascus, where he was baptized, after which he set out to spread the good news. He was once the unholy, unforgiving, brutal being that we read in this passage. But God was always there for him. For so long he denied God's power, instead choosing to eliminate Christians. Maybe there are times where we deny God's power, where we are led astray by these types of people, or we become one ourselves. So, as I mentioned at the very beginning of the view that we should ignore the bad and side with the good, I believe there's more to it than that. Instead of ignore, perhaps we should help the bad to side with the good. Let me pray. Father God, I pray that you help us not to be led astray by evil, by wrongdoers. We pray that you will help us to walk the path of righteousness with you. We ask that you help those in need, not to ignore them, but to show them your compassion and your kindness. We pray that we will be able to perform acts of kindness, that we will be able to help those in need. We ask for your blessing on all these people that need your love. In your name we pray. Amen.